Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850-715-815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, you heard the ad there just before the programme started for the GAA Electric Ireland Minor Championships, and this is major and a big macho ad saying it's all part of us and the drums beating and our DNA, and it proves what we are. Jackie Bourne, Jackie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You're fed up, you say, with all the stuff about the GAA and how it's part of our DNA and the opium of the people and all this guff. What's your situation?
Well, Joe, my daughter is a beauty therapist. She's self-employed, and from tomorrow, she's out of work again. She's also a beauty educator. So for the last couple of months, her beauty education business has been fairly dead because obviously she can't travel to salons with all the restrictions that are on at the minute as well. And yesterday, they decided for the second time to close the hair and beauty industry down. But elite football players can still go and play football. And I don't understand why it's okay if you're an elite athlete that you can mix in a large group of people, but somebody who's trying to make their living in the hair and beauty industry can't have their clients.
But the GAA is the opium of the people, we've been told. Well, it's in our DNA. It's part of what we are.
It's not in my DNA, Joe, and it's not part of who I am. I'll tell you what's in my DNA. The young people and the entrepreneurs of this country who kept it going all through all the crises we had, who worked day and night, who never looked for anything off the government, and now are suffering again.
Do you think it's anything to do with the fact that all the preliminary meeting on Saturday and Sunday was comprised of all men? Michal Martin, Leo Varadkar, Michael McGrath, Pascal, Stephen, the CMO, the deputy CMO, all men.
I don't know whether it was the fact that it was all men, men,
the primary, not the totality, but the primary followers of sport are men.
Yes.
Isn't that true?
It is, and I don't think any of them understand the mental health benefits of somebody being able to go and get their nails done twice a week or get their hair done twice a week. The psychological impact for a woman of her hair going grey. I heard Dr. Houlihan talking there on the news saying, the psychological impact to people, it's very important that we have support.
Yeah, in fairness, what he was also talking about, Tony Houlihan, was the volume. Like, if they put a GAA game on Saturday night between, won't happen for a while, between Kerry and Dublin, that'd be the weekend before Christmas. But if they put that on, they will get a lot of people watching.
They will, of course, get a lot
and
of people
you,
watching.
You don't get a lot of people watching through the plate glass window of a beauty salon.
You don't, but you also will get a lot of people who are not in the psychological place to be able to watch sport. And it's like as if the GAA are going to save the country at the minute. I was up driving past my local GAA pitch the other day, and I can tell you now there was absolutely no social distancing happening on that pitch. There were a group of about 20 lads sitting around a picnic table, pushing and shoving each other, having the crack, and it was wonderful to see it in normal circumstances. But we're not in normal circumstances at the time. I'm in school at the moment, and in class, the staff are all wearing their PPE. We're doing the best we can to keep safe. But again, I am mixing with children who are not wearing masks, and I'm being told that that's safe. To be in there all day long, but it's not safe for me to spend an hour in a beauty salon that's completely sanitized between each client, where the staff and the clients are wearing full PPE, and that's not safe. I don't understand the logic of any of that.
Bernie is from the west of Ireland. That's how you characterise yourself. 51551, wash your hands. Bernie, you say the GAA is a big no-no for you. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically, it's like you're saying, a lot of men will follow the sport. But why can't you have the leisure centres open?
The gyms and the swimming pools.
The swimming pools, because my daughter badly needs the swimming pool for pain in her back, as okay. do a lot of the other people who are using.
And if you listen to Luke O'Neill, who's on with Pat Kenny twice a week, and who is the expert that, well, he's a lot of experts. Yeah. We've fantastic experts in Northern Ireland. He said swimming pools are totally safe. Once you don't hook each other on the bank, but he said because of the chlorine, swimming pools are totally safe. And as you say, very therapeutic, very therapeutic. And given how cold it is in Ireland, I know some people do get in the sea and we're encouraged to get in the sea, but for a lot of people getting in the sea to be... You die of shock. So the swimming pools, what is the story with your swimming pool? Is it a standalone swimming pool or part of a leisure centre?
It's part of a leisure centre, very well run. Only so many allowed in. You have to book your time and you have to come out.
And no classes and at the minute.
Everything is cleaned. And they've even stopped the people allowed to use showers.
And isn't there was a campaign to keep gyms open, but that fell on deaf ears.
Because it doesn't affect certain people.
Yeah, there was a campaign to keep the beauty industry open as well, but that's fallen on deaf ears as well. And, you know, like, at the moment, there's a huge campaign going on the TV and within media to say, you know, buy local, support your local business, buy online, don't use any of the international websites to buy.
Yeah,
But you can buy a takeaway from a restaurant and or a pub. I understand it's still not... completely fulfilling their business. You can buy online from the major retailers. You can't get your hair or your nails or your lashes done online. So although there may be for other businesses,
stay there, Jackie,
there's nothing for the beauty industry.
Bernie goes a step further. You say golf, you say all the things that are allowed, all the sports that are allowed are mostly male dominated.
Yes, that's how it feels. It's not intentional, but it's how it feels to the female population. I don't think anyone realised when they were bringing in these sanctions that a lot of women are being isolated or older people. I mean, older people use the pool. They use people with arthritis.
And they use the pool. They walk up and down the pool or they swim gently. Yeah. It's incredibly... Yeah.
Yeah. There will be a lot of elderly women go for their wash and blow dry every week as well, Joe. To be honest, I hadn't actually thought of the male female.
But again, in fairness, Jackie, don't you come back to close contact?
But your GAA is close contact. It doesn't matter what they tell you.
But when you say, Jackie, you can't get your eyebrows done online or you can't get your hair done online or whatever. What's that thing you get done with when you get your eyebrows tattooed or something? What, there's another
wax.
But isn't or threaded or whatever? But isn't our pH oil? But isn't that the exact point that you can't get it done online? Therefore, it has to be close contact. Therefore, the virus.
It's not any more close contact, Joe, than me and school all day every day.
Yeah.
Can I just say another thing?
Bernie, of course you can, yeah.
It's women do 90% of the Christmas shopping, maybe. Yeah. And to close it down until December wasn't ideal. Because shops aren't spreading this because everybody's wearing masks. People stand back when you're passing and everybody's courteous. But Pennies, if you go in, it's a safe, you have to sanitise, you have to wear your mask. All the shops, Arnott, BT, the whole lot of them, and they're closed down. It's another slap to women again.
And you know what, Joe? Like, I went to do my grocery shopping yesterday, and I brought my wipe in the car to sanitise my trolley. Because when COVID came in initially, there was people standing outside, and I know it's the winter and it's an awful job for somebody to be there all day sanitising the handles of the trolleys. The sanitizer is there, but there's nobody sanitizing the handles of the trolleys anymore. Can you imagine how many hundred people are touching those trolleys every single day?
I know.
And obviously, grocery retail has to be kept open. I mean, we have to eat.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's not any more dangerous, I don't believe, than going one-to-one into a salon, where either a hair salon or a beauty salon, where everything is sanitized. Every single door handle, toilet, counter, chair is sanitized. before the next client comes in. And both the therapist or the hairdresser and the client are fully masked up. And they have to fill out their COVID-19 contact form as soon as they come into the salon before they're allowed to even have their treatment.
Okay, Brian Cunningham is in Donegal. Stay there. Brian, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, listeners as well.
You say Brian is angry that GAA are still allowed to play. Why? Why?
Well, I'm angry. What I'm angry about, Joe, is not just picking on the GAA today. It's about if we're going into lockdown, let's go into lockdown fully. And not just let's just pick and choose what we're going to go into lockdown with. So, for example, the GAA being one of them, you know, and we've all heard the cases, we've all seen the cases of people having, you know, with sports and you know, the after parties and all the rest like that that's been going on. And it's crazy. And it's our own fault. And it's people that are doing this. But let's not just pick and choose when we're going into lockdown. If we're going into lockdown, let's go into lockdown. But let's not just favour one sector of society because it's in our DNA or whatever. Let's, you know, there's a huge issue out there, a huge issue. And I'm after doing refunds in my own business this morning, like no tomorrow in the travel business, right?
I also
look after quite a number of personalities and different things like that. But the scenario is most of the singers that we look after or we're doing work with haven't worked since the 12th of March. The event management firms haven't done anything, you know. Then we're picking what we want to pick.
Yeah.
And we're going to be back here again.
But why is everyone? Well, why
what
is
happened
why
is it?
Why is it? Why is everyone picking on the GAA?
Well, I'm not picking. I'm picking on all sectors that.
Now you say allowed. Brian is angry. Unless you were transcribed incorrectly. Brian is angry that the GAA are still allowed to play.
No, well, let me.
Well, he has to close down his business again tomorrow.
I have to close my business again tomorrow, and my staff are without jobs again tomorrow.
Bernie said the GAA are a big no-no to her. We are turning into a police state. All the things that are allowed are mostly male-dominated, golf and all that. But the hairdressers had to close. Bernie said GAA can stay open, but my daughter, a self-employed owner of a beauty salon, and we're closing down tomorrow.
Yeah. So and Joe, can I say one other thing, which is probably not terribly relevant to this conversation, but I think there needs to be more advertising to get our young people on board with this. I'm bringing my mom to a hospital appointment today, and I had to drive through her country village to pick her up. And the secondary school students were out on the street on their lunch break. There were hundreds of them, Joe. Literally linking arms, walking down the street.
You get the same thing in every town.
No social distancing, no masks.
Well, then does that come back to Brian's point? Shut everything down, shut schools down.
But what I'm saying is
lock up everybody.
If one of those children has COVID, there's 20 of them have it now, from what I saw in the village. And I'm not picking on the young people in the country. I think this time has been difficult for everybody. It's been extraordinarily difficult for teenagers. They live for their friends. I have teenage nieces and nephews, and my own daughter is a young adult who's desperately missing. They're desperately missing their social circles and their friends. And I know they have Zoom and their text messages, but it's not the same as sitting on a wall on a sunny day chatting to your friends, or even sitting on a wall on a winter's day chatting to your friends. But
what
the message is not getting through to them.
Bernie.
And that's exactly it, what happened to living with it.
We have to learn to live with it. We can't. Are we going to shut down again in January when the numbers will go back up after the craziness of Christmas?
Yeah, and that is what will happen. That's exactly what will happen. It will balloon again after Christmas and we'll be back to square one again.
We'll have people home from everywhere, and they're entitled to. I'm not saying they can't. There'll be mixing everywhere.
Yeah.
And we'll be back into lockdown in January. What's the difference?
But what's the alternative, Bernie?
Learn to live with it.
How do you learn to live with it? How can we learn to live
because
with
it? We're doing
how
what
can
we're
we
doing
learn to live with something that's invisible?
We were masking, social distancing, education.
More education on, especially targeting.
Sure, last week, the number of people we had on, the number of people that didn't get on, who had checked people who weren't wearing masks and wearing masks and were abused.
Yes.
And the Gardaí couldn't do anything about it.
Those of us that are wearing them are being victim. I feel anyway being victimised again. We need more concrete rules in place so that if somebody is trying to enter a retail space without a mask, they're not allowed in. It's not, oh, well, you know.
Well, hang on, they're not allowed in. Who enforces that?
We need it enforced by
the guard. Well, no, we need it. So the security man or woman on the door of the shop says you can't come in.
Ring the guard.
Okay, they'd ring the guards.
First of all, they're abused
from a height.
Yeah.
Then they put up the hand to stop them coming in, they're accused then of assaulting me.
Yeah, I understand all of that. And should we
play all the clips the last few weeks? Then you have people screaming at them, I know my constitutional rights and I pay your wages and all this nonsense.
And unfortunately, it's all the people who know their constitutional rights and are screaming and shouting about it that are spreading COVID because they really don't care about anybody else.
And
you
unfortunately,
know?
Everyone is paying the price for a certain percentage of people that aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Our older people
that are on, after speaking to a number of them today, they're frightened out of their wits. They're terrified, they're lonely.
Well, Brian, it's up to all of us to remind older people that they are more vulnerable in terms, but the percentage of people who die from COVID is still very, very, very,
very small.
Our
mental health, Joe, is going to be a huge issue in this country. Mental health is going to be an awful problem. Our suicide rate and our deaths by suicide is going to be something that's going to be incredible in this country.
Okay, Mary Cross is in Kildare. Mary, good afternoon.
How are you?
Good, thanks. You're listening to the debate.
I am, and well, I've been listening. That's you crack up listening to it all. But is it not time that we have bring in a curfew, that we close up at a certain time at night and open up then for 6 in the morning? France are doing it, see how we go there, because all our business, as well as all the poor people that have been very ill and dying. But our business, all businesses are decimated. You go into anywhere now and there's business closing time. Come next year, we'll have nothing. Where's the government going to get the money to be able to run the country and give everyone the COVID money? It just won't be there.
And are you in business, Mary?
Well, we're in the bus business and we have been decimated. If it wasn't for our schools at the moment, we'd be shut down as well. We were decimated from last March until the schools opened the end of August. And decimated was the word.
I'm not really sure that closing the schools down is a solution, because I think the children need the schools, especially the special needs sector. I'm in the special needs sector. The children need to be in school. They need that normality. And we need as much PPE as possible that can be provided for us. And I'm very lucky in the school that I'm in. We were provided with a decent amount of PPE. But we need to really focus on educating young people about the dangers of the spread of COVID. I was actually shocked what I saw in the village, because normally I would be in school during lunchtime, so I wouldn't see hundreds of teenagers out on the street. I mean, they're all wearing their face masks in school, but there's no point in a teenager wearing a face mask in school and walking out at lunchtime and taking it off.
Well,
they hang
around. I don't think they're going to change them.
Mary, you say I would die for the GAA.
I absolutely love it. And I know an awful lot of them, they said it's all orientated towards men. I don't think so, because there's as many women that die for it. And I know them because we used to travel around the country when Kildare was playing.
And you say the county teams, the championship and the league, you say they're well organised.
They're very well organised.
Yeah, but they're not. But the problem is, Mary, they're not professionals.
To their great credit,
which means a lot of them, one, they don't have chauffeurs to drive them around. Nobody wants to drive from Kerry to Monaghan and then talk out to play a game. So they need drivers.
That's what Kerry did. And a great credit to them. And then got into their cars and drove back again. I'm not saying whether it should go or it shouldn't go. I thought they may have left it all until next year. I think it would have been the best. But now that it's there, and the bigger counties are anxious for it. And I don't see now, well, I enjoyed looking at them at the weekend, but my biggest issue is at the minute, putting the GA aside, is people trying to run a business and they're decimated. And now there'll be businesses that they'll never be able to open again.
Okay.
Also, we already know a number of hair salons and beauty salons. Obviously, with my daughter being in the industry, she'd have a lot of connections in it, and they're gone. Big salons that you would have thought could have survived this. But they can't.
True.
They're gone.
Yeah.
You know, they're buying products. The last time they had to bin all the products because they were gone out of stock, or out of date, rather. And now they're going to have to do the same thing again. Glues and tints and everything are all going to have to be binned again.
Okay, Adrian George, Adrian, 1857-15815. Your point, please, Adrian.
Yeah, Joe, just during the first lockdown, there was no schools, no GEA. And I have two teenage daughters, and my wife does coaching. And the house was just like, well, it wasn't bleak because I have two toddlers. But just once the GEA got back in action, and it's done right. It's done really well. And, like, the light went back on and the kids and they're back to school. Like, I mean, if we take that away again...
And they're allowed they're allowed train, but they're not allowed play, are they?
Well, at the moment, the girls aren't training. My girls, because the club's not training at the moment. But, like, even so, they're training outdoors, Joe. Like, I mean, the risk of spreading the virus outdoors is far less than indoors.
And training,
but not if they're all sitting on, if there's 20 of them sitting around a picnic bench, pushing and shoving each other and hanging around each other.
Yeah, you can talk.
And I actually emailed the GAA about it. And I still haven't had an acknowledgement.
But you see, it's not a decision of the GAA, it's a decision of the government.
The GAA can't control 16 or 17 year olds hanging around.
Well, then they shouldn't be open.
But if you listen to me for a second, when kids go up to train, they all go up individually. They train, they're not allowed to mingle as the way you're talking about, and then they go back home again.
But you know, well, these guys were all mingling the way these guys were mingling and swinging out to each other and sitting on a picnic bench. And it's perfectly normal at that age, and it's wonderful to see it, just not at the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm not being smart. Like, I mean, kids don't train on a picnic bench. So they obviously,
well, these guys were all sitting.
Yeah,
I drove past it. Their training was obviously over, and they were all having the crack at the end of it. Their coach was still there.
Yeah, well,
and they were all sitting on the picnic bench.
What age were they?
They were, I would say, early 20s.
Early 20s. Now, the early 20s isn't allowed. It's juvenile. So my understanding, I don't coach myself now, but my understanding is juvenile is under 16.
Yeah, well, I understand that, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I work with teenagers, and I saw all the teenagers up in the village, and it was a perfectly normal thing to see, just not at the moment.
Oh, of course not. But it's, you see, where
just
you and
not
I differ,
at the moment.
The GEA have cancelled training for over 16s. That's the way I understand it.
Well,
now,
these people were still there on the pitch training.
Yeah, but my point to you is that they were over 16.
But it's insofar as we don't have the full statistical details at this stage, but it would seem, Adrian, that Wexford, Cavan, Monaghan, Donegal had a lot to do with the cross-border issue, but that the spikes... The big spikes were due to celebrations after GAA match.
Oh, of course, countrywide, I believe, But that was the senior championship. But I'm talking about now. Like, these people are talking about cancelling the senior championship. Like, I mean, senior players are professionals and everything but the sense that they get paid. Like, I mean...
Yeah, so Adrian, you've hit the nail on the head, Adrian. So those lads have to go back to work on Monday.
They're old enough and responsible enough. You know,
well,
like
where
club championships
agree.
Are concerned, you had the pubs open. The government opened the pubs under pressure, and then you had the club championships. So when they were over, I know in Cavan, I know that everyone flooded back to the pubs because they were open. But under restriction 5, the pubs are closed.
They are. So people will
and
go back to people's houses, which is where it's all spreading. They've
I know where you're going to go with that.
That
the guards have responsibility now to break that up.
They can't
they
knock on
powers.
Every door in the country after every GAA match.
Well, the guards are sensible enough to know what's going on.
Well, they can't knock on every door after every GAA match and knock on a door and say, are you having a party?
Okay, Michael Cummins is in Castlebar.
Let Michael open their business and earn a living. then somebody should not be able to go and mix in a group of 20 or 30 or whatever amount of people are on a pitch.
Okay. Michael they Cummins, stay there. Michael Cummins in Castlebar. Your point, please, Michael.
Joe, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, I just turned it on there a while back and I heard the discussion there about the matches going ahead and all of that. Well, you know, okay, we're down here in Mayo and that is part of our religion down in this part of the world. And to be honest with you, I mean, when we heard the games were going ahead, we were absolutely delighted. And I was watching RT there last night, Colm O'Rourke and Colm and David Brady and Ian Robertson from Trinity College. And they were absolutely brilliant. They would lift the hearts of everybody.
And they all agreed with each other as it happened.
Well, absolutely. And what we are facing here, my opinion on this is people are being quite selective at what they're saying. I would love to see the rugby and the soccer, all of the teams. To me, over the last, since the summer came in, all of the players, men, women, children, everything, everyone who put on a jersey, are our frontline workers in the fight against an epidemic, a pandemic of mental health in this country. And we need, that is actually impossibly in many ways claiming more lives at the moment than the COVID-19 is. And when the figures are tallied up at the end of the year for the annual death rate, which in 2018 was 31,800 and something, I guarantee you that there will not be probably a hundredth of a difference in the death rate in this country. And I mean, really, we need something to keep us here. And you're talking about anybody who watched the matches on television last weekend. I mean, apart from the players and the officials, there were nobody in those stadiums. You go into Tesco in any part of Ireland today, and I guarantee you, every single store, there'll be anything from between 1,500 people and 4,000 people walking through those stores. So what's the problem? I mean, if you walk through O'Connell Street or Grafton Street today, there's going to be probably from morning to night thousands of people there.
Well, there won't be.
And they're all trying to get their shopping.
The only thing in Grafton Street on Thursday will be Billy the Fox from Stephen's Green.
Joe, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to go because I'm on the side of the road and I bring my mom to a hospital appointment. But thanks very much for taking my call.
Okay, Michael, your final point, please.
My point is that you can have 1,000 people in some schools, in the big schools in the country. They're all together. The teachers are in there with them. I think that is good, personally. And I think we have to start acting far more normal than we have been. And, I mean, look, at the end of the day...
Yeah, but it's not going to be very normal for the, 200,000 retail workers gone from their jobs tomorrow night.
Come Thursday or Friday here in this country, you are going to have up 120,000 to 200,000 people out of work. You can imagine.
Okay, that's why you think sport is even more important.
As they said in India all along, what we are doing is not, I mean, really.
Well, the target, according to Tony Holden at the 1 o'clock there, the target is to get it to, if we get to below 100 cases a day by December 1, they will relax. They will relax. Below 100 a day. We're at 1,000 at the minute. But
the other side of this is the WHO themselves says what this pandemic is doing across the developed Western, what we call the West as such, is creating massive hunger and poverty in the country, in the world. You're going to have millions more people dying because of lockdown in the world than you are.
So you're against level 5 completely, Michael?
Totally.
Oh, you're against it completely?
Absolutely and totally. And you can see what's happening in India. Somebody said they would prefer to die there from the COVID than from starvation.
Yeah, but that's not going to happen in Ireland, Michael.
But if you lock down the world, you are contributing to millions of deaths in other parts of the world if you lock down the developed countries. So we have to look at the greater scale as well.
I don't follow your logic there. So if Ireland as an island operated as an island, which unfortunately because of the political parties up north and the fact that they can't agree, if Ireland operated as an island, we could do what New Zealand did. As an island. I don't know how Ireland getting rid of COVID kills anyone in India.
No, and that's not the point I'm making. I'm saying that if you lock down the economy of the country,
yeah, yeah,
you are actually, if the economy here crashes, which it will, as some lady said there, we'll have nothing to pay doctors, nurses or anything if we don't open up the economy. And if the economy crashes in Europe, in America and everything, there are jobs that are dependent on that in poor people over in India and other countries, totally dependent on their exports to the developed world. And that's where the WHO have said it themselves, poverty will double in the world, and deaths from poverty will double next year.
Now, well, maybe if India, I know it's and they're wonderful people. I've been there, and my own granny was born there. But maybe if the Indian government stops spending so much on weapons and buying, they have 60% of people live in poverty, they can actually buy aircraft carriers. But anyway, it's not one of the big arguments that a lot of scientists were making. If we had concentrated in the last 30 years, instead of spending more money on defence and weapons to kill people, if we concentrated on science to try and save people's lives and prevent pandemics, we'd be in a different world. But anyway, points well made, Michael. Back after this 51551, my chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
For various reasons, people are contacting us upset about the fact that the GAA inter-county championships are allowed to continue while other sports and other, I know other sports are allowed, but rugby doesn't have an inter-county championship, has an inter-provincial. Michael Kilfoyle. Michael, good afternoon.
Good day to you. How are you?
Your point, please, Michael. You're in Clare.
Well,
you're in Ennis.
I honestly think there that rural Ireland is being penalised because of the Cork's, the Dublin's, the Galway's and the Limerick cities, and that the government...
And the Cavans, and the Monaghans, and the Wexfords, and the Donegals.
Well, they're not city, as I said, but if you take...
The highest rates Wexford, are in Cavan, Monaghan, Donegal. Wexford is on a surge at the minute.
They are, but I mean, there isn't 400 being shown in Cavan tonight. You know what I mean? Where they are in Dublin.
Well, that's a popular...
Or they are in Cork. Now, the point is, Joe, that I honestly feel, as I said, and I was saying it to your researcher, and you brought the GAA. If you have a hurling match or a football match, they're dragging and pulling one another at the games, right? Mm-hmm. When you go into a hairdresser's saloon, the hairdresser is not dragging you or pulling you. They're sitting down.
So what do you think of the GAA at that level being allowed continue?
Well, I'll be honest, sure. I wouldn't be what you call a great GAA follower, but that's here nor there.
But it's in our DNA. It's the opium. It's the opium of the people.
Yeah, it's in whatever. But at the end of the day,
it's part of what we are. It makes us what we are.
It's part of our culture.
Not one political party in our parliament of all the disparate political parties has supported your call. Everyone supports the GAA. Every political party. They're the most organised sport in the country.
Well, I don't know about that, as I said.
Well, they are. They obviously are. Because the entertainment... Well, if you look at it, the entertainment industry, who could argue that we should be allowed reopen and we wouldn't have people swinging and dragging out of each other, like you say.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have
yeah.
people celebrating at the end of a concert. People don't jump up at the end of a Mary Coughlan concert and start kissing each other because...
Oh, by God, Joe, I've been at concerts in the Duke.
Okay. But my point is, they don't... The entertainment industry didn't get a look in. They got lots of words, but they didn't get a look in. They didn't get the go ahead. Because they're not organised enough and they're not powerful enough.
Because of the cities, because there's a higher vice and a bigger vice inside the cities representing the business people, the government decided, here, we can't close down the cities.
Let's listen to Janet Taylor. She not only works in a crystal company, but her crystal company is called after a city. It's called Dublin Crystal. Janet, what perchance faces your business now, Janet?
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, we're going under level 5. We have to close down again from tomorrow night until the 1st of December.
What was your reaction when you heard the news last night?
Devastated. The tears are rolling down my face last night as I was listening to the Taoiseach. I just couldn't believe it again. You know, we were closed for 8.5 weeks earlier on this year. We closed on the 18th of March and we went from 100% business to 0% overnight because we do a lot of sports awards, schools, presentations. And April, May and June would be our harvest, if you like. We came back early June. We started from scratch, really. All our 5 staff came back in. We've worked day and night. We've worked weekends to try and bring the business back up again. And we're just getting there nicely. And now we have to close again tomorrow night. So Martin and myself will be...
And what's the, what is the argument that that you should be allowed open?
Well, I know we're deemed non-essential, but we did. We have a laser machine that can make visors, face visors, and we did that to help get us back open during the summer. And then we got so much abuse on Facebook, on social media, for selling these, for making them. Oh, the abuse was something else. So, but I mean, having said that, our phones and emails this morning haven't stopped ringing. People are looking for crystal. They want to buy their Christmas gifts. We do the engraving for the decorations. They have repairs. It just doesn't seem fair. Now, the government have been good, I suppose, by supplying the PUP. That's been very welcome.
Can your business not operate online, Janet?
We can do some online, but some of our staff live outside the 5 kilometre radius.
And so, is your business regarded as an essential business? It's not, obviously, is it?
It's obviously, to us it is essential.
Of course, I know everyone's job is.
To all our customers, yeah.
Well, is it not a manufacturing business in terms, I know you don't make the glass, but you do make, you do transform the glass from one stage to another.
Yeah, we do. Well, I suppose you could call it a manufacturing, yeah. And we do the repair work and that sort of thing. All the engraving is done here. So, but we just have to comply with the laws. You know, it just, I think if they'd given us 4 weeks, I think that might have helped us and given us a bit of hope. I know we all have to bear with, you know, the restrictions.
Well, the magic number, according to Tony Holland, is get below 100 cases, new cases a day. And we're over the line for the Christmas. If we get below 100, I don't know how you do that, given that one person generated 54 cases when they came back from a holiday. 54 cases.
Total madness. But, you know, people, we do have to look after each other. We have to learn to live with the virus. But, you know, when I hear of people in Cork this morning, those poor businesses were flooded. You know, I thought I was bad. And it reminds me of a saying, I thought I was bad with no shoes until I met a man with no feet.
Well, Dublin Crystal, you're still online, I hope, and you have a website. That's DublinCrystal.ie. Okay, Janet, thanks. 51551, wash your hands. Keep going.
Cheers.
Florence Staunton, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
You make the point, Florence, that the GAA were brilliant to you during the lockdown.
Absolutely. They were quite incredible. And it's something I think that I'm from Dublin myself, down here for about 4 decades. It's something that city people don't realise, the cohesion that the GAA gives to a community. And the fact that, you know, when living in Dublin, you've got people next door, you're actually seeing people, even if you're not interacting with them.
Okay, yeah, you can sit at your window and watch the world go by,
Whatever, not even watch the world go by, but you know there are people around.
Yeah, okay.
And if you're living in the country, I'm not going to go into a Healy Ray rant about drinking in pubs, but when you're living in the country, the isolation It's living here is fine, but then, you know, when you're faced with something like what happened during lockdown, it's quite difficult. And the GAA were absolutely incredible here. They were amazing. You could email or phone in your prescription to the pharmacy.
Yeah, I know that.
GAA, and they had it to you within an hour. You could get them to pick up stuff in the supermarket, be it something that you'd forgotten or a large order. And they were just, you know, they were a phone call away. They were,
and it was great. And I know a lot of people did it as well. My own tree did it, volunteered. They give out to me now for saying, but my own tree children.
And that was in Dublin, wasn't it?
They volunteered at a local pharmacy and said, we'll drive on Saturday, which they did all through the pandemic. Yeah. And they go mad now that I've said it. But so many young people did it. And the GAA, I know, were brilliant. But what we're now onto a stage where people are saying, hang on, it's either Brian Cunningham. Probably given what he was talking about in Donegal, Brian said if it was going to be a lockdown to get us out of it, it should have been a total lockdown.
And I'm going to be a typical Libran here with the balance. I agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with that. It's, you know, for 6 weeks, that's it, just lockdown, and that's it.
So on the one hand, you said the GAA is an incredible lifeline, which it is. On the other hand, there should be no inter-county games.
Absolutely. I mean, we can put up with it for 6 weeks. If it's, you know, and certainly, you know, looking at what's forecast or what's predicted, if we can do this for the 6 weeks and forget about the plastic toys from Smiths, forget about rubbish that goes with Christmas. If we can do this for 6 weeks, we'll be able to see each other. We'll be able to be together at Christmas time.
Okay. But I remember I saw, I don't know whether you saw it yesterday, there was a tweet from Santa yesterday from the North Pole saying he's completely sanitised, everything is okay.
Children
are not to be worried about, not one bit to be worried about Christmas. Everything that they've asked for, they will get. And by the way, he also said there's no naughty list. Someone said the other day, there's no naughty list for children. Every child gets what they want. Mark, stay there, Florence. And you stayed in Wicklow for 40 years, you're going to stay there a bit longer.
Look, you know,
what brought you from Dublin to Wicklow?
Oh God, the good life. We thought we were going to be self sufficient. I didn't grow a vegetable until 2 years ago.
But after 38 years of moving to Wicklow for the good life, 38 years later, you eventually started the allotment.
Exactly. My husband foretold.
And how are the goats getting on?
The goats are up the road, they're not mine.
And the little animal sanctuary you started, how's that going?
I have been known to pick something up from the little animal sanctuary.
Oh, well done. And what about the hen ark you started at the back for your own eggs every morning?
I buy them from my neighbours. Don't tell the powers that be.
And how's your beehive getting on, Florence, after 40 years of the good life?
Look, the beehive, look, I'm convincing myself at this stage that with the amount of wilderness I have in my garden, I'm going to come and deal with honeybees that I can't see, so that's it.
Okay, well done, Florence. Thanks.
Look, I'm going to hang up because...
Yeah, go back out and get back onto your mini tractor and get those potatoes planted before it's too late.
Get the weeding done.
Okay, thanks, Florence.
Bye, bye. Here's to Christmas.
Here's to Christmas for everybody. Florida, it will happen either way. It will happen, especially for children. Mark, you want to make a point. You're a school bus driver.
Yes, I drive a bus down the Midlands. And,
good man.
I'm 65 years of age,
Yeah.
And my bus carries roughly around 40. So
okay.
They get on the bus here every day. I do primary and secondary.
Right.
And the bus is full.
Oh, is it?
But the point I make is, every day, every morning I get up, I feel like I'm putting my family's at risk,
mm-hmm.
with this COVID, because the school that I leave the children into, both students and children, I know through a friend of mine, I should go back and say my son has muscular dystrophy, he's 24, and it's a prognosis, 18, early 20s, and he's 24. So you can understand where I'm coming from.
And Mark, I thought there was social distancing on buses and school buses especially.
Yeah, but you're sitting on a bus, Joe.
Yeah.
And it closed. And the school that I go to, now, I don't know about any other schools, you have to sit in the car park for a quarter of an hour with the bus full while everybody else gets out and before you move. Now, if you're sitting on a bus with 30 people,
yeah.
And you don't know whether they're keeping on the masses.
You have to keep your eye on the road. But Mark, have you raised this with your employer, or are you self-employed?
Oh, they're very good. You know, I have to say, I'm not giving out the employment.
No.
I'm saying is that nobody considers the bus driver. Nobody considers, because there's a lot of lads I know that are out there throughout the country who are, they're of a good age, let's say. Let's say they're in between mm-hmm. their... late 60s, or no, not, I don't mean late 60s, yeah, well, yeah, late 60s into their early 70s, and they're all doing this job because they need the money.
I know. So I'm doing
it because I need the money for no other reason.
So if as long as the schools stay open, you have to do your work.
Yeah,
that's your point,
you see,
isn't it?
I'm afraid that I bring it home. I get up every morning.
But
the last thing I say before I go out the door, I bless myself and I say, God, please don't let me catch the coronavirus, because if I do, Tom is dead. And my wife, who has had two heart attacks, she's gone. And chances are I may become myself, because I suffer with diabetes and I'm 65. So you know what I mean?
Oh,
I'm not looking for anybody's sympathy. That's the facts. That's the way it is.
And you're saying if the schools close, you would get the COVID payment.
At least I get relief away, from
the... I know. But
well,
you're also...
high here now, Joe. It wasn't too bad when it was down low. You didn't mind because you minded yourself.
Yeah.
But it's getting so high, and we know it's in the school, because a friend of mine's son had to be taken out of the school, who has the same condition as my lad, And he rang me to tell me that there was 26 within in the school had were out with the coronavirus.
But your worry is that you become a vector for Tom, that you, through
yeah,
the school,
I bring it
you
home.
Inadvertently, I know.
Yeah. And if I do, he's gone.
Oh, God.
But we're fighting hard enough to keep him alive for the last 24 years. And there's other parents out there and other men with different complaints. They're going home to their wives who are sick. They're all gone. I'm not just talking for myself, but I'm talking for them all. But they're not considered, Joe.
And,
what
would happen tomorrow if you said, I just can't drive the bus anymore and my nerves...
Well, wait till I tell you, Joe. Okay. If I decide to leave, which I'd love to be able to do,
yeah.
I'd have to go to the unemployment office, yeah? Because it's the only thing I have.
Yeah.
And I'd be told you left your job. You don't get paid for 6 weeks.
That's true, yeah.
You understand, Joe? So I'm left in a position that I can't. I have to keep going. I have to worry. I have to, you know, and it feels that I'm actually putting my wife and my child and myself at risk to all this. But that doesn't just apply to me. I mean it's for every bus driver that's out there. With buses packed. If I was driving for CIE directly now, I'd be only allowed 20 people on the bus. I'm allowed my bus to be packed. Joe.
Yeah.
Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Of course I do. And I know it was as well, Tom, or Mark, since you start talking, people have stopped texting because they're listening to you. They are stopped in their tracks. You're saying you have to work.
I have to work. I have no choice. That's the only income I have.
But
and I have to work. If I leave this job, because I did inquire, Joe.
Okay.
If I leave this job, I'm classed as leaving the job, and that you don't get paid. You know yourself. If you leave a job,
I know, you don't get paid for six weeks.
So I'm left in that position. And many is another man. I'm speaking for all them as well. I hope I am anyway.
Yeah.
And the elderly men that's out there, and they're doing their best, and they're all hoping that they won't get. They each must say a little prayer every morning and say, please God, don't let me bring home this virus.
So at least
it becomes mentally unstable. You know, you become that you can't sleep and you're waking up and you're saying, what the hell? You know what I mean, Joe? I was just making a point for the bus drivers to appreciate them and what they're doing.
And it'd be a double effect for you. You're putting forward, if the schools were closed, it means, one, you'd be out of harm's way, please God.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, this is the high point of it.
This is the high point. Yeah, that's what we're told. Yeah, that's why there's an unprecedented lockdown.
This Dr. Hooley, he wants them down to over less than 100. Well, it's less.
Day, yeah.
So it's less. You feel that you're okay. You know, you might get through it.
Yeah.
Even though you feel there is a chance you get it, but you feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That it's getting better. Everything is getting better. Now it seems to be getting worse. And you're still there in the middle of it all.
Mm. But if the government said the schools have to close, unfortunately, when they're closed, is there a midterm and second level? When is that later on?
Yeah, there is. It's on. It starts Friday. Oh. They close on Friday.
Now, by the way, you paid for that week off.
No.
Oh, for God's
sake. No, Joe.
Oh, Mark.
I don't get paid at Christmas.
And I know, wasn't there a whole issue in schools with the wonderful work the caretakers do and the school secretaries weren't being...
Yeah, but they're the people. You know the people who are going to clean the schools.
No, they are.
No one ever asked them.
It's like people who clean schools and people who do the secretarial work are as much as important to the schools as the wonderful teachers in the school.
Exactly, Joe. Exactly.
It's like the famous story when John F. Kennedy was touring NASA in 1961, NASA in Houston, and they were preparing for a moon launch. He saw a guy sweeping the floor and he started talking to him. He says, what do you do here yourself? He says to the fellow with the brush. He says, I'm putting a man on the moon. And that's everyone working in the organisation, that's the same. I'm so sorry, Mark, that you won't get money next week now.
No, but that's it. Look, we get on with it. I mean, I've got on with it an awful lot before this, so I'm going to get on with it.
What age is your Tom? What did you say, 20?
24.
And you know when you said you stand at your little holy water font inside the hall door?
Yeah, they have a holy picture of it. That I got in Medjugorje, you just want to come out the door.
Okay, and have you special?
I stand at that, and I put my two hands in that, and I say, please, don't let me catch the corona today.
Yeah.
That's my prayer going out the door. And when I get home, I plank him. But honestly, I don't know, did I catch it or did I not?
Yeah.
I go down to Tom, if he has a little sore throat, if he has a cough, I'm saying, oh my God, am I have to bring this in? You know, every little thing, you know. But, I mean, that's just the way things are.
I know.
But it just... want people to know there is a lot of good going out being done by people. All them drivers, they're all doing very, very good. And I see them out there and they're trying to mind themselves and all. And I look at them and they're, be honest with you, Joe, they're treated like dirt. Let's be honest with you.
What do you mean, Mark?
I mean that there's no... if someone comes out and tells you you have to sit in that bus for 15 minutes, you know, until all the rest of the likes of that. Okay. You have to sit there in that bus, but this guy is telling you what to do, and yet you know, come back on that. If you get down off that bus and say to him, hey, listen here, I'm not getting... I don't want them on this bus. I love all the kids. Love every one of them. They're wonderful students. They're wonderful kids. Every one of them. I can't say a wrong word about any of them. But I don't want them on the bus for my sake and for their sake.
Okay.
Until it's time to go. You know what I mean? Get on 2 minutes before we go, we're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
But I want them on it for 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
But if I get off that bus and reprimand that man, my job is gone.
And who's his... I don't want his name, obviously, but it's just a
teacher.
No, there's no
name here now.
Okay. I don't want to go down there. Okay. Mark, you're brilliant.
Thank you, Joe.
You're a brilliant citizen. You're a brilliant father. You're a brilliant husband. You're a brilliant person. You're a brilliant bus driver. You're a brilliant man.
I'm okay to get off the bus. We had to be that big.
Well, it should be big. Yeah. It should be big for what you do.
I have to say, my young children are here behind me listening.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the bus and they'll be back quiet and they'll be very good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope they all... Well, they can't hear you on the radio. Radio turned up, but I hope they all realise what a gem they have behind the steering wheel up front. What a gem they have.
Well, Joe, I have to say that.
I knew you would. I knew that's all you've said. You've praised other people. We now come and praise of great citizens like you keeping the country going, Mark, in these awful, awful times. God bless you, Mark, Tom and your wife. Thank you, Joe,
and God bless
your family.
You.
Yeah, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
What a man.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Anne Keary is principal of Lisheen Kyle National School in Oramore in Galway. Anne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Your point, please. You sent us a long email, but you have a number of ideas.
Okay. Well, I'm concerned. First of all, schools have done brilliant work. And in fairness to the government, they've given us, you know, fairly adequate funding for PPE gear and all the rest. But I find one area that's blatantly obvious needs addressing, and that is the area of what happens when there is a confirmed case within a school.
Okay.
My understanding is that at the moment, from the literature that has been given to me as a school principal, is that the HSE will contact me and they will ask me where your child is sitting.
Okay.
And how many children are in the bubble. That is...
The bubble is the classroom.
The bubble, you see, Joe, isn't the classroom. This is where the anomaly lies. The bubble is actually the children contained within the seating area that the child is in. So it's usually three or four children. And those three or four children would be considered close contacts. Now, the rest of the children in that room are generally not considered close contacts. So follow on from that. The result is that a parent will get a letter from a school saying, now, let me just prefix this by saying we have not had a case, thanks be to God.
Okay.
But the parent will get a letter from the school saying there has been an outbreak in the school. Your child is not a close contact.
Mm-hmm.
That child could be sitting in the same classroom, quite near the child who has unfortunately become infected.
Right.
Now, my problem there is that I know from speaking with other schools that the problem seems to be that, okay, that pod, those four or six children will stay at home. Then a few days later, it has happened, not always, but in some cases, where the next table will get it and it will spread through the classroom. My point is, I feel that in fairness to the children and the staff working in that room, which is now a contaminated classroom, that that class should be closed. The children should move immediately to remote learning, with the teacher teaching from home, the children using our preferred online platform, Seesaw. Other schools use different ones. That way, the children lose no school time. It's all dealt with in one fell swoop. And very importantly, it gives a chance to deep clean the classroom. My understanding is that as of now, if I got a phone call this evening from the health board to say that I had an outbreak in the school in, we'll say, Ranga 3, that I would be instructed that the children in the pod, the three or four that are together, would be contacted, and that the rest of the children and their teacher and their SNA would be expected to walk into that room tomorrow morning, a contaminated classroom. Okay, you'll get the party line. Yes, we have got extra money for cleaning and we have good cleaners, but they are not trained adequately to deal with live coronavirus should it be there. They'll do their best. I trust them implicitly. However, if the classroom is automatically closed, even for a day or two while the help board get their head around it, it means that that room can be sealed and left closed for 72 hours.
So you're saying there's a fundamental flaw in the education program.
Yes, there's a fundamental flaw, Joe, and we're all at sea, to be honest with you now. We're all kind of at sea. There's every sort of rumour afoot. But, like, the basic thing is that, yes, tomorrow morning, if I get a phone call this evening, and it's possible I might, I have to bring home a folder with me with all these statistics in it, to deal with the help board. They have my number for 24/7 contact. And that of the vice principal. That's required by the department.
Okay.
So I could have to ask a teacher to come in tomorrow morning into a room where today there has been a case that, you know.
Well, is there any method of feedback?
Not really. In fairness to our union, they're looking for statistics, you know. But meanwhile, a parent feels that.
And does the HSE take on board the different infrastructure or geography of a classroom?
Certainly.
Yeah, okay.
Certainly they do. But you're talking about classes of 30, where the ideal is 2 metres. Most schools have attempted 1 metre, but the ideal is 2 metres. Remember, we have the biggest class sizes in Europe, so it's pretty difficult. But statistically, it seems to be proving that it does spread through schools. Now, I'm not saying there's a huge amount. Of course,
there is. Well, I'm just wondering, will there be any... I know the midterm is happening this
coming,
week.
It is, yes.
And I have a teacher in my own family.
Yes.
Exhausted.
Oh, yeah, they are tired, but
they are brilliant. And a lot of people, firefighters, nurses, paramedics,
yeah, they are,
teachers,
of course, they're
everyone's
tired.
Exhausted.
But I'll tell you, Joe,
so I'm glad they're getting a little break. But maybe during the little break, there can be a regrouping or a recalibration.
There can be a regrouping and a rechanging of pods. All that will happen. But the worst nightmare that could happen for all teachers that I've spoken to is that schools would close again. I think a little bit of prudent care when there is an outbreak could solve an awful lot. Close the class, leave it closed for a few days, deep clean it, get the children tested that are close contacts. Others, if they become symptomatic, test them. Get back in, and life goes on. Even if they stay home for 2 weeks, it's 10 school days.
Okay, and well done on your service, and all teachers as well. Thanks indeed for your service.
Thank
and,
you, Joe.
If you do get I know principals probably won't get a break.
A lot
of teachers won't, but if you can, try and avail of it over the next beginning at this weekend. Thanks, Anne Keery. Sean, good afternoon, Sean. What's your situation, Sean?
My situation is I'm in my 80s. I live alone.
Yeah.
And as far as the government are concerned, they have no concern for elderly people living on their own. And I also object to, they say they're looking after vulnerable people. Mm. They're not.
And what's your situation, Sean?
I'm a diabetic and I have a high blood pressure, and I've fallen twice and been rushed into hospital at the A&Es, and I think it's absolutely disgrace.
And are you living alone, Sean?
I am, yes, I am.
And when you fell twice, who did you contact? Had you got one of those alarms around your neck?
I did, yes.
Good man.
And the next morning I was taken in to make sure that I didn't damage.
But you did. You did press that alarm.
I did,
the penance.
Yeah, I did.
Good man. Well done.
But they don't care. And many of these government ministers, they're never wearing masks. Yes, they say that everybody has to wear a mask, and they don't care about the old people.
And you're living on your own.
I'm living on my own.
Since when, Sean?
Since my wife unfortunately died in April of this year from a heart attack.
Yeah.
And since then, we were 56 years married.
Oh, God. So she died. I know she didn't die of COVID, but she died during the pandemic.
Because she had a heart problem and she also had a breathing problem. And luckily, and I don't like to say this, but at least she was at home and she died when I woke up in the morning. There she was, dead. You know, and they don't give a damn. And many of the...
And you see, and I'm looking at my screen shows...
Yeah.
The doll, I don't know who does be talking to who in the doll or who does be watching. I know I've 4 screens here in front of me plus whatever else is happening. But there's Micheál Martin and Paul Morphy. I can't see what they're saying, but it looks like they're knocking, as per usual, knocking lumps off each other. But in fairness, both of them whack back on their masks when they're not talking. In fairness.
Yeah, but you have these doctors, whoever the hell they are, they come in and they don't wear masks.
Okay, well, a lot of them. But Sean, how are you managing on your own?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a good carer comes in 1.5 hours,
great,
6 days a week.
Brilliant, brilliant.
And they're magnificent.
Brilliant, well done.
And many, God have the people that are going to lose their jobs.
I know,
many
I know.
The government and TDs
and how,
are going to lose their jobs.
Okay. And Sean, and in fairness, I think Leo Varadkar made that point 2 weeks ago. He said public servants don't have to worry, but he was making a general point. But he did allude to it in fairness to him. Now, Sean, how are you fixed now from tomorrow night in terms of who you can see or who you can't see?
My son is great for me. He lives down the country and he comes up every so often. And he's bringing me out tomorrow to get my hair cut.
Okay.
And I have an appointment to see a surgeon in November and that's probably going to be cancelled.
And have you anyone else that can be part of your bubble, Sean? Because you are allowed. Yes, people living alone are allowed.
I know I have a very good neighbour, but I don't like getting them all the time.
Yeah, I know. And when you press your pennant that twice you fell, who does the alarm company, who do they ring?
They ring my son.
Okay. And then he rings you to see are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
And then if that doesn't happen, well then an ambulance or whatever is called.
Well, then I have a very good neighbour, but I don't like...
And why, Sean, why do you feel abandoned? You say that in your call.
I am abandoned. They don't give a damn. I mean, since February... Or since March, I've been stuck in the house. Now my son comes up, but I can't be late. He's a family and he's a business to run. And I can't be asked.
I know.
You know? But they should give us some more support, more help, like carers and that.
Yeah.
The carers I have now are absolutely magnificent.
Well, isn't that brilliant?
So they are. They're killing
and if anyone else calling to you, Sean, if you're a public health nurse or...
and I tell you, the crowd that come in each care, they're absolutely magnificent.
Well, isn't that brilliant?
So they are. They're absolutely.
Well said.
You know, but I'm going to try to apply.
Have you a pet or anything in the house, Sean?
Oh, I have a cat here. Oh. I think I'm mad, but
you're not. Why are you mad? You're not mad. Stop it.
Only for her. I don't know what I do.
And what's your cat's name?
Holly.
Holly.
She's here beside me.
Holly. Okay.
You know, but I think it's absolutely disgraceful.
Okay.
Many of them are going to lose their jobs. And would they be able to live on €350 a week? They're only a crowd of gangsters. That's all they are.
You're
they
very... Sean, on the one hand, you see...
You know?
But Sean, stay with me for a minute now. On the one hand, you're really, really warm and humane about your carers and your cat your neighbours and your son. They're all brilliant.
Still, they shouldn't have to rely on me, them, either.
But it's...
Government should look after...
I know, but you see, will you forgive me for saying I think you're too hard on politicians?
I'm not too hard.
Okay, you won't forgive me. Okay, you're entitled.
And many of them will lose their jobs.
I know, that's the point. I know, but I don't know where that gets us in terms
of... But I tell you, they should close the border. They should close the border and have... testing at airports, I see.
They're practical suggestions you're making.
Yeah, but why aren't they doing it? Look at the one person came over
54.
And 56 people were infected. They couldn't care less.
And do you go out, Sean?
With one of the carers, she brings me out for a walk.
Great.
I go for a small walk around the place.
Well, if you have a carer, you're still allowed to do that.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that. But still, I think...
Sean, okay. And do you get a newspaper every day? What do you...
No, I watch the telly most of the time.
Well, keep that up.
Oh, I will. But
and listen to the radio.
Yeah, and I listen to the radio and I listen to the news all the time. But I think they should close the border.
Okay. Well, you're not...
people coming across.
You're not the only one saying that. You're not the only one saying that.
But I think they should do it.
Okay. Sean, you've had a tough year now.
I know I have.
And your wife was Mary.
That's right.
Many years did you say you were together?
56 years.
Not brilliant.
Yeah, 56 years.
And you miss her. Do you pray to her or talk to her?
Oh, I do. I talk to her all the time.
Okay. What do you talk to her about? Everything.
I don't know. I turn around in the bed and I say, Mary, it's time to get up and that. And then I realise she's not there.
Yeah.
You know? But not to worry, you know. I'm disgusted with the.
And Sean, you retired, obviously. Were you based in Dublin? What did you do?
I was based in Dublin.
And what did you work at?
I was security.
Right. What does that mean?
And I don't want to say where.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, you know.
Was it an exciting job, Sean?
That was, yeah.
Great,
was,
good man, yeah. Good man. And do you read, or can you, how's your eyesight
read,
and everything?
I do read.
And remember, the libraries have a great service at the minute.
No, I do read. I'm
good
a
man.
Here,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
I blame the
I know
the
you
politician.
Do. I think everyone knows that at this stage.
Yeah, but you see, they don't consider
I know, but they'd argue what they will. But I sound like I'm interrupting you all the time, and I don't
not
want to.
Not at all, but why don't they wear masks?
It's up to all of us to check them.
Yeah, I know that.
Sean, will you mind yourself and keep in touch? If you need anything, give us a shout. Do you hear me?
I will. Give us a shout.
Bye bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Thank you, Ryan, because you speak for so many that have contacted us. Fire away, Monica. Your point is your mother in a nursing home.
My mum, Joe. How are you, Joe? Thanks Good. For taking me call.
Thanks for making the call. Go ahead, Monica.
My mum is in a Midlands nursing home.
Right.
She's from stage 4 breast cancer. She's only diagnosed since last November. She okay. went into hospital with pains in her stomach and vomiting on the 16th of November. We've done tests and scans, and on the 17th of November, we were told that she had stage 4 breast cancer.
And what's your situation now with visiting?
Our situation now with visiting is my mom came to a Midlands nursing home in February. And we had all the visiting we wanted up until the 6th,
okay.
up until the 13th of March. And then the lockdown came.
Right.
And we had no visiting whatsoever.
And what are you now as we're going to level 5?
At the moment, for the last month, I haven't seen my mother. There has been no visiting whatsoever.
And how is she, do you know? How is she in herself?
Well, I talk to her on a daily basis, okay. Joe. She's able to use the phone, but she's not great. As you can imagine, she's an 81-year-old woman. She's lonely. She's scared. She doesn't know what's happening. And now we're looking into a 6-week lockdown. I'm not going to get any visitation whatsoever.
So
and I just don't think that any government or any ministers are addressing this problem. You know, because, yeah. I mean, if you're living in a nursing home and you're healthy and you're in there for other reasons, that's fine. But my mum's living there and she has what she has. Like, you know, it's a life sentence. You know, she hasn't got much time on her side.
Oh, God.
So, obviously, every day matters to me.
Yeah.
And
I know there's little things like you can send in parcels now free of charge.
And parcels they're 3 days in quarantine before they're given in.
Okay.
Now, I've nothing, like, the nursing home is very good. I've nothing bad.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I just want to see my mum.
Okay.
That's the bottom line. I want to be able to spend whatever time she has left on this earth with her. You know, the way it normally would do if your parent or your loved one was sick outside of this coronavirus any other year.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And there's nobody addressing this, Joe. Absolutely nobody. No government minister.
Well, you're raising it now again.
I looked at the Claiborne show last night. It wasn't brought up. Nothing was brought up.
Well, it's been brought up a lot on this programme. But anyway, I take your point.
Anyway, Monica... 6 weeks of a lockdown now, Joe. And, like, in 6 weeks' time, I don't know what way my mum is at.
I know. For so many. You know, it's nearly 400 nurses. Over 400 nurses.
She could be dead in 6 weeks. Like, we just don't know.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? And, like, to not be able to spend the last few weeks of her life or the last few months of her life is just shocking.
Well, what she does know is that she's a loving family, but that's
she knows
not enough. I know.
Unfortunately, like, it's heartbreaking. I cannot tell you the pain and heartbreak that we suffer, not being able to see her. And also for her as well.
I can't imagine. Monica,
no,
I can't
it's
imagine.
Unbearable it is.
Okay.
Like, my own health has taken an awful hit this year over the whole thing. The shock alone of my mum getting sick. And the diagnosis, the shock overnight diagnosis, and then the rest of the year, just battling with the COVID to try and see me mum.
Okay.
No, my own health is on stress levels. I'm out of work. I can't go to work. I'm not able to go. I'm physically not able to go to work. You know?
Try and mind
just
yourself, Monica.
Unbelievable stress that I'm going through.
Try and mind yourself, yeah.
You know?
Okay, Monica.
And I just wish that, Joe, I just wish that there'd be some sort of
I know, you're raising it, I know, but
I want to be able to see my mum, and there's people like me who want to be able to see their family, and there should be some sort of leeway, something that they can give, that they can let us see them.
Okay.
Even twice a week, anything.
Okay, Monica. Oh, Monica, it's an awful situation. Godspeed to your mother now.
All right.
Is Fiona there? Do we want to do Fiona's poem or have we time? I have to take a quick break for a start.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815 215.
Okay, to play us out today, Annette Egan produced, Ciarán Cullinan sound, Anne-Marie Donlan was our broadcast coordinator. Now, Fiona, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
Fiona Flood. We're way over time, but Fiona, your poem is so beautiful. Will you just read the last verse for us, and we'll try and do the full verse again, but just that we're over time. You can talk us out today. Read the last eight lines or whatever. Go ahead. This is Fiona Flood, and this is a memory of her husband. Go ahead, Fiona.
Okay, so when things don't work out, don't let yourself pout. Smile and remember, it will all work out. Maybe not the way you once planned, but adventure and fun just happen. It's out of your hands. Think of now and only today. The future will happen in its own way. So take a breath and feel it inside. Let every step you take give you some pride. Focus on the positive once every hour and let it work its magical power.